Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good afternoon. This is The Drift. This is not Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings is out on assignment. I personally think he is out hanging out with the penguins from Madagascar. But I could be wrong on that. Right now, Phil's writing down the number to call in here, 734-822-1600. Phil, you don't have to call in. You're behind the mic.
Yeah, I can get my point out. Never even have to touch a telephone. Just listen to the radio. Yep.
Hey, I got a little bit of business to take care of. You know, it's the holiday time. We're all going to put on a little bit of extra weight. In my case, a lot of extra weight. Well, my wife makes like these greatest cookies in the world. I love her Toll House cookies. It's just like I'll eat them by the dozens. So I put on extra weight, and then after the holiday, we have to think of how we're going to lose it. Well, there's a solution. It's Bariatric Solutions. It's the St. Joseph Mercy Healthcare Systems establishment, and you can lose up to 70% of your excess body weight in the first year. And if you want to learn more about that, they have a free educational seminar December 14th from 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. At St. Joseph's Mercy's Brighton, Suite 207. And again, that's Michigan Bariatric Institute. And if you want to lose some of that holiday weight, make it to their educational seminar. Again, that's at the St. Joseph Mercy Brighton, Suite 207 on December 14th, starting at 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. Or you can give them a call at 877-Y-WEIGHT. That's Y-W-H-Y-W-E-I-G-H-T. And start working on getting rid of that holiday weight now. So we are filling in for Gary. And a lot's been going on in the last week. We've had, the recounts are going, and no longer in Michigan. The recounts have stopped. And they went to the federal court says, yeah, we've got to start it by Monday. And then the state court said, no, they did it illegally, and the federal court agreed. Then they went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, after two of the Michigan Supreme Court justices recused themselves, said, hey, you don't have a case. So in Michigan, the recount has stopped. Wisconsin, the recount is on. It's almost finished. And no change in the outcome. In Wisconsin, still going for Trump. In Pennsylvania, there's going to be some noise from the judge in Pennsylvania, the federal judge, on whether or not he's going to allow the recount. But he didn't sound so happy that they waited to the last minute to go in there and try to do all this.
Well, isn't it a little bit shady when you ask for a recount and it's not for the purposes of thinking that you actually won the election, but maybe a couple of votes here and there got misplaced or something. There's no way possible for Jill Stein to win the election, and yet still they gave. So what they're saying to you is that there's irregularities in the process. Mm-hmm. Well, I say that if there's irregularities, we ought to be looking at fraud.
Right.
Voter fraud.
That's not really going to come up in a recount. A recount is just going to count the ballots that are there and see how they went. And that's how it's going to go. And I will say that there's been some issues brought up because of this recount, but it's not going to overturn the election.
No.
And when you say, isn't it a little bit fishy? No, it's a lot fishy when she does it, and you have to figure out why she's doing it. And I believe it's to try to tie up the Electoral College votes of the three states, because if you don't have Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, including their Electoral College votes in, guess what? No one has sufficient in numbers, and then it goes to Congress.
Yeah, well, there's another reason also. There is a possible way that a judge could rule one of the people that is in the election as ineligible to run. And if they throw him out or her, then somebody down the line is eligible to win.
Well, I think more than anything, they knew what was going to happen, and this is just my opinion. Had they been successful in eliminating the Electoral College votes of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, then it would have gone to Congress for the president. It would have gone to the House of Representatives for the president, and it would have gone to the Senate for the vice president. The outcome would have been the same, except now the Democrats, instead of complaining about they had a loss, they'll sit there and say the Republicans won by fiat of the courts and by Congress, okay. and it was stacked against them, but he didn't really win the election. Thoughts go back to George Bush and Florida, you know, where the Supreme Court intervened. He didn't really win. The Supreme Court gave that to them. And I think they were looking for
selected,
that.
Not selected.
Yeah. Right. And I think this was the same thing that they were trying to pull with Trump.
But there is a real viable possibility that somebody could be ruled ineligible. And what they're trying to say is that there was an effort by the Russians to manipulate our elections, and so if they could tie that to Trump, then somebody could have ruled him ineligible.
No, and here's why. Right now, you could sit there and say that the Canadian vice president was rooting for Hillary. Well, because he was rooting for Hillary, the Canadians manipulated the election and some of the votes for her.
Well, but there is, it says here, leaked information through hacking operations traced by U.S. intelligence to Russia was eerily silent on Trump and the Republican Party throughout the presidential campaign. Yet the same operations exposed moves of secret, sometimes embarrassing, personal communications involving Clinton and internal planning by the Democrat National
Party. All of that actually means absolutely nothing because the voters still showed up.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They can't go through this whole scenario because of one thing. They needed to disenfranchise all three states.
Yeah.
And guess what? They did not disenfranchise Michigan.
Right.
And with Michigan there, that would mean the 20 Electoral College votes from Pennsylvania and the 10 from Wisconsin. That's 30 Electoral College votes. Off of the 306 Electoral College votes that Trump has, still leaves him with 276, which means he still has enough Electoral College votes to go through. Even if you take this idiot in Texas that says he's going to
not vote
for Trump, but he's not going to vote for Hillary either.
Yeah,
you know. So okay, he's got 275. It's still sufficient. So you don't have enough to really disenfranchise this vote. And this is what I really think Hillary, who I believe was behind these, was trying to do try to disenfranchise those three states enough to get it in front of Congress, and that way, knowing it would still go to Trump, they'd sit there and say, Trump wasn't elected, he was selected.
Yeah.
And that would give them more power come 2020.
Yeah, and it happened with George Bush, as you said, and also he did not get his cabinet fully in place until like June or something. And then we had, 9/11 and a couple of months after that. So, you know, it was a real touch-and-go situation here.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I'm
with them playing politics about somebody being selected, not elected.
I'm finding everything that the liberals are doing right now amusing. I'm finding it very amusing.
Yeah.
As I was listening earlier, as the crew was out at Walmart doing 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys.
Yeah.
I stopped by there and I heard Theron talking about, you know, the adults are in charge now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we can be a little bit amused at what's happening. Real quick, we have Ken on line one who wants to talk about the ballot recount.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good, and I just want to comment on both the recount and also the fact of what you mentioned also having to do with, let's get into recount. First of all, we know that the money that is being provided to the Green Party for the recount, as I've heard on other shows like Rush, is actually coming from multiple sources, Hillary Clinton, George Soros. So it's actually Hillary Clinton that wants the recount, thinking that there's going to be a change, and there's not going to be a change.
There's not. There's no hope for a change, and they know it.
This has nothing to do with any chance for the Green Party to to win on the vote.
They're still hoping for change.
Yeah. Hope and change.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is that, you know, when we're looking at what is transpiring here, I mean, this is just a redirection. I mean, the Democrats, you know, they can't win the election whatsoever, and so they're trying to redirect everybody's attention. And now we're looking at this whole accusation that the Russians hacked the campaign. Well, wait a minute. What we're really looking at is still Hillary did what she did. And so we're trying to redirect people's attention to what she actually did and point to the Russians.
You know, and let's not go past that point. You make a very great point here, Ken. The fact is those emails that were released, they can't deny the information on them. Just because whoever released them, doesn't change the fact that the information in those emails are accurate. And therefore, it is a good reason why the Democrats lost the election.
And see, that's the whole issue. Now, Hillary, the Democrats, didn't ever deny what the email showed.
Not even a little bit.
No. And so what we're seeing now is we're seeing an attempt to redirect the people's attention from the fact that the emails are legit to the Russians hacked the emails. And this is a bunch of baloney, a bunch of malarkey. Fact is Hillary is guilty of what the email showed. And so there again, they're just trying to redirect our attention.
Well, I also believe that it's all right to point at the emails and being hacked. You know, it's the point at the shiny object over in the corner. You see, the whole thing is they are taking the attention away from voter fraud, real voter fraud. People voting who have absolutely no business voting, illegals, felons and everything else. Until we get a real honest way of assessing who's voting and whether or not they should be voting, there's going to be a real mystery as to whether or not these elections are on the up and up.
Now, here's another thing, too. Now, I don't have a problem with people hacking if what is being released is the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Now, I don't believe the Russians did any hacking, but even if they did, who cares? If what they came across was factual, who cares?
Yeah.
And there again, this is just the attempt by the Democrats and by Hillary's people to, well, don't look at me. I broke the law. Don't look at me.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's just a shiny object over there.
Kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know, don't look at the wizard, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, Ken, for many years, I used to be a professional illusionist. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I did that for years before I got more involved with the Lord and less involved with the stage. And I did illusions for a lot of time, and I learned that misdirection is a wonderful tool. But you have to learn to see it in politics because it happens all the time.
And that is the only thing the Democrats know is misdirection, because the Democrats can't win an argument with the truth.
Well, I can't argue with that.
You know, I mean, everything about the Democrats is misdirection, it's lies, it's deception. I mean, they can't win with the facts. They can't win with the truth. And so that's all this is. Let's get the people to look this way when we're doing something else.
All right.
All it is.
Thanks a lot for your call, Ken. I really appreciate it. You have a blessed day.
You take care.
All right. Hey, folks, if you're looking for something to do this holiday season, make it to Burroughs Roadhouse. Burroughs Roadhouse has some comedy coming up on Santa's Sunday Brunch on December 11th and 18th, and they have seatings at 9:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. You can meet Santa there. In the evenings, they have holiday comedy shows, and December 9th and 10th is going to be Ken Evans. And then you have December 16th and 17th, you have Mike Stanley. So a lot of comedy going down at the Burroughs Roadhouse, which is at 5311 Brighton Road, or you can give them a call to find out who's performing on what nights at 810-227-6000. Again, make it down to Burroughs Roadhouse. Have a nice evening. Enjoy the comedy. So we have the recount that's been squashed, but it did show a few problems with some issues with the ballots in Detroit. More than half of Wayne count or half of Detroit's ballots could not be recounted because things didn't work out. My problem is the news of some of the boxes that they thought were recountable. They had one that was marked for 350 ballots. The stamp said 350 ballots. The log said 350 ballots. And when they opened it up, there was exactly 50. And the vote showed six times more than what it had, as well as the vote equaled six times more.
But somebody had counted those 50 votes.
Six times.
Six times.
Yeah.
Right?
Which gave you know, 600% more votes to Hillary.
Yeah.
So we know that this problem's existing, and, you know, it's not just in Detroit. I see the problems happening all over like this. People real curious on if the people running the elections are not somehow messing with the vote. And this concern goes back not just to this election, but let's go back to 2008. 2012. The problem is you can't hack the machines, and you can't hack, you know, the paper ballot, but you can have those running the elections stuff the ballot box afterwards. and that is a real concern.
Yes, that's what I'm saying about voter fraud.
That's
the real thing. To talk about hacking, I mean, what could they change the outcome of the election or change votes by hacking into the system?
Hacking? No. Our Michigan system, the only way Michigan can get hacked is by the people actually running the elections.
Yeah.
And that afterwards, they can stuff the ballot box. And we're seeing some of this possibly in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I have to sit there and think we have people in office such as Senator Colbeck who is actually trying to force an investigation, not a recount. A recount's not going to change anything.
No.
And a recount will not change the fraud that can happen in an election in Michigan. What needs to be done is a full audit of the election, not just this election, but a full audit of how we do elections.
Yeah.
Including finding a way to purge the roll.
Now, would there be a need for legitimate voter ID? That's what I think will stop that.
You know, I think a lot of people are missing the boat when it comes to this voter ID. Right now we have the NAACP crying about it. We have the UC, the lawyers, the liberal lawyers crying about it. And they all have voter registration, right? They had to go down there.
Yeah.
Where do you go to get a voter's registration? You go to Secretary of State, right? The same place where they have a camera, right there. They got a camera where you go in and get your driver's license. They take your picture and they put it on your driver's license, right?
Right.
So when you register to vote, get your picture taken and have your picture put on your voter registration and have to show your voter registration when you're there. Mm-hmm. Why not? It's simple.
Yes.
You're right in there. You're signing for your voter registration. What this will stop, though, is me coming to your house and saying, "Hello, Mr. Stargell, are you registered to vote?" "No. Here, let me register for you." And you fill in everything, and then you leave, and then you sign his name for you. So now your signature, my signature, matches the card as you.
Yeah.
Now I am capable to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going around and filling out registration to vote this way should be illegal because it does open up for fraud. But I think you go into the Secretary of State, you register to vote, you get your picture taken, and you have it put on your voter registration. I also am very much for renewing voter registration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
You have to renew your driver's license,
right? That's exactly
if you want
to
keep driving, if you want to keep that right to drive, you have to renew that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep your right to vote, you just go in there and you register to vote. And you have to renew your voter registration, what, every 4 years, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Put a number on it. So any number you want on it. Really?
Yeah.
Just so after a while, if you don't renew it, it falls off the roll.
Right.
Instead of sitting there and having a lot of people that are on the roll that are dead, unable to vote. And let me tell you, the U of M, and I will sit there and say it with surety, and I can prove it.
Mm.
Sits there, has students that go in and get their driver's license that are from out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
They register or they get the driver's license, and at the same time they are registered to vote. Mm-hmm. And I know one person that was in this country as a student who left here and was panicked because he received his voter registration in the mail giving him the right to vote. He says, I can't vote. What do I do? Mm-hmm. So we've got to make it, put your picture on the voter registration and have it fall off the roll after so long. You have to renew it.
But it does make sense. And I don't, well, the only reason why it doesn't make sense to the other side is they want that a little bit of doubt to be in there. So whenever there's an election, there's always a bunch of set-asides that have to be looked at for 10 days, up to 10 days, and all of that nonsense.
Hey, we've got Ed on line one. Ed wants to talk about voter fraud, which is a good thing. That's the subject of today so far. How's it going, Ed?
What a coincidence. Here, you guys are talking about voter fraud, and I want to call about voter fraud.
Hey, it works out that way sometimes. Guys. You having a good day, Ed?
So, I'm at work.
Yeah.
Oh, and a lot heaped on me last minute, so no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you if you had all your Christmas shopping done, but since you went into work on a day off, I'm assuming you're still trying to make more money for Christmas.
No, I'm salary. I got stuff dumped on me yesterday, last minute. But I'm on the top side of the white stuff. You say green stuff, but I'm on the top side of the white stuff, so.
All right. Very good. So you wanted to talk about voter fraud.
Yes, sir. Not the weather, not my health. Hey, as far as the Russians, you know, a lot's getting conflated there with were they involved with hacking the emails, or were they hacking fake news, or were they hacking voter machines themselves? And all these issues get confused in people's minds, and it's a definite strategy, I believe, on the behalf of the Democratic Party and the liberals to basically cause us to lose faith in our electoral process.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Ed, because I was thinking about that the other night when I seen all the ads on the media post is, did the Russians hack the election? And I'm thinking, are they now saying, did the Russians hack the voting machines? No. When you read the story, it's talking about the WikiLeaks, and it's talking about all these other releases, which has nothing to do with the actual elections, but it's put in the people's mind that the Russians somehow hacked our election. No,
and that's the psyops warfare. That's exactly what they're trying to do, is get in people's minds that something really sinister has happened from Russia.
And if
you know, the fake... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and if you really look at it, if the Russians, if, and I still think that's a big if the Russians hacked the email of the DNC, if they did, and they released that, they did not hack the elections. They hacked the DNC, and they put the information that out on it. If the Russians did that, someone did. But does it really matter who it did? They put the information out there. It was true. And no one denied no one denied that it was the truth.
I agree with Ken that, yeah, I don't care. I frankly don't care in that regard. And when it comes to the fake news, I saw a PBS article recently that showed that it was a liberal that had this big organization that was generating all these fake news stories for Facebook.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, I think they're doing it. As much as they blamed the conservatives for putting that fake news, most of the fake news I seen put out there was against the Republicans, right at the since the beginning of the primary.
Now, I want before you got to go to break, I want to bring up that by law, every Michigan voter must present picture ID at the polls or sign an affidavit attesting that he or she is not in possession of picture ID. That's from the Secretary of State's website.
Yeah, here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with that.
The House, our state house, passed a voter ID bill.
Yep, and the only thing, the voter ID bill that they just passed says if you sign that affidavit saying you don't have your ID with you, you have got to present it within 10 days.
Yeah,
and here's the problem, because a lot of people are signing those affidavits now. Their ballot then goes right into the mix, and you never see them again.
That's right.
And they jump to another poll. They jump, or they're either that, or they're fraud right off the bat, or they precinct cop.
Or right. It but, does like
you know, the big fraud thing wasn't whether somebody had an ID or not. The big fraud was they were passing it through the stupid machine 6 times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, we're coming up on that hard break. Thanks for your call, Ed. All right. Have a blessed day.
Have a great weekend. Bye.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Veyrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. President-elect Trump said to be making progress in filling out his cabinet, meeting a second time today with the Secretary of State possibility, ExxonMobil Chairman Rex Tillerson.
Rex Tillerson is now considered the front-runner by many for this position. The two met on Tuesday, and really, he's been the CEO of Exxon since 2006. He has no diplomatic experience, but some point to the fact that he can bring his executive leadership to the role.
Fox's Brian Yunus. Gas prices could edge higher soon. OPEC has persuaded 11 non-OPEC nations to reduce their oil output after the cartel's decision to cut production. NASA set to launch 8 small satellites Monday to monitor cyclones and hurricanes in the tropics.
The combined government and contractor launch team is prepared and excited to launch this important constellation of weather satellites.
Launch director Tim Dunn says each small satellite is just a bit bigger than a piece of carry-on luggage. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Save money, save water, and reduce your stormwater bill with a rain barrel. A rain barrel collects and stores rainwater from roof areas that would otherwise be lost as runoff to storm drains and streams, and water stored in a rain barrel can be used for watering flowers, gardens, trees, and shrubs, rinsing tools or muddy boots, and more. Use of rain barrels can also save you money. The Washtenaw County Conservation District offers rain barrels for sale, which are made from recycled food-grade plastic barrels. They are 55 gallons in size and come in black, gray, and terracotta colors. Support risers for the barrels and downspout diverters are also available. Also available are tumbling composters made from recycled food-grade plastic 55-gallon barrels. Rain barrels and composters are available year-round and can make great gifts for gardeners. Additional information about both the rain barrels and composters is available at the Conservation District Office, 7203 Jackson Road in Ann Arbor, or visit the website washtenawcd.org or call 734-761-6721, extension 5. Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, 2950 Packard Road in Ypsilanti, is in need of diapers at the center to give to clients who cannot afford them. To learn more about the Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, including drop-off hours for diapers, call 734-434-3088 or visit women-helping-women.net.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. Or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
A unique toy store, Muriel's Dollhouse and Toy Cottage, is in downtown Plymouth.
Muriel's has modern and traditional toys for everyone on your list. Toddler toys, Carole dolls, lifelike baby dolls, and dollhouses. Melissa and Doug, Playmobil, Magformers, Madam Alexander, and Steiff. Also Catholic gifts and more.
Holiday discounts from now until Christmas. Muriel's Dollhouse and Toy Cottage, 824 Penniman in downtown Plymouth.
Louder with Crowder.
Well, guess what? When you never, ever work with anyone from the other side and you paint them as villains, now they have a majority. And what's Obama's legacy? Gone. Gone! Within the first 100 days of a Donald Trump presidency, John Nolte wrote about this. You can't be an ass like Barack Obama your entire presidency.
Don't miss Louder with Crowder, 6 a.m. Sundays on Wham! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And we're back. Hey, just a little message for my wife out there. We, well, just to fill everyone else in what's going on in my personal life here, I woke up this morning, the supply line in the tank to our toilet was just leaking all over the place. So we had the serious water problem in our bathroom, and we're trying to figure out how to do it. And as you know, during the break, Phil, what I do instead of doing business, I sit down and I read the current newspaper. Yeah. And hey, honey, if you're listening, Patrick's Plumbing. Their phone number is 248-437-3499. Again, Patrick's Plumbing, 248-437-3499. I've got a coupon here for $10 off so they can take care of our toilet. So give them a call. and that way I don't have to deal with it when I get home after this show. Again, Patrick's Plumbing. You know, they do about everything. I'm sitting here looking at this. They do everything. Plumbing installs.
Mm-hmm.
Showers, garbage disposals, you name it. All I need is my toilet fixed.
Yeah.
So they can, and we're sitting out there and listening to Brandon Drake on the calendar. He talked about these rain barrels. You were asking me about that. Yeah. Have I ever heard of them? Yes, my wife has them.
Yeah.
She loves them, which is another reminder, now that it's winter out and they're freezing, honey, go out and drain your rain barrels so they don't freeze up and break.
Yeah.
Yep. So we left the show. We were talking about voter fraud and the possibilities of it. And I say there is a need to do a true audit of our voting system in Michigan. I've been saying that. You know, I've been talking to you about this for a long time, long before the recount.
Yeah.
When you asked me about the recount, you said, why aren't we doing it in California? And my answer was, that won't change the election. That won't do anything. What we need to do is go state by state and do audits of each state's election system. Make sure it's adequate. And find a way from keeping the electoral officials, those who close out the day of voting, and make sure there's no way that they can tamper with the election. Because I honestly believe this happens.
Yeah, because I know for a fact that there's things that go on in the centers where they're voting, because like it happened to me. I was, if a lot of other people had to come in and the clerk said what they said to me, they may have left without voting. I came in and asked for a Republican ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the machine, it was a Democrat ballot. So I took it back. And the lady, when I said I wanted a Republican, she said, that's right. You did say you wanted a Republican. Everybody looked around at me. You know, a lot of people would have taken that as, you know, intimidation. And
They were conservative shaming you.
Yeah.
Is what they were doing.
Exactly.
Because they're making you feel bad because you're a conservative.
Yeah.
Hey, look, he said he wanted a Republican ballot here.
Yeah. How many people, Republicans, came in here today, you know?
The guy that's driving that car right there is his.
Yeah.
You might want to know that's his car as he's taking his time voting carefully because he's a conservative. And you're right. Some people would have gotten the ballot and they would not have even noticed and gone up there and just voted with whatever name sounded familiar to them and giving them other votes. That's one problem. The other one is running through maybe a jam ballot.
Yeah.
And instead of deleting the ballot the first time he tried to put it through, is running it through twice. How else do you explain 350 ballots where there's only 50, you know, except that they were extremely tampering with it? Mm-hmm. And I think we have to look at our those who run the elections for fraud more than we have to look at the machines. Mm-hmm. The machines can't be hacked into. They're not hooked up to the internet. Mm-hmm. They get a disk, all right? Those disks are put in, and then those disks are to be tested by each precinct to make sure the disks are operating properly. In other words, they put through sample ballots. They mark off different names and make sure when they run through those ballots that it counts out right on the tape for those votes.
Yeah.
And so the actual disk is checked by each precinct. Now, if there's a fault to that, it's to be caught in that test.
Yeah, the only real hacking that can be done is to the brain. You know, the old Jedi mind trick.
I hate it when they do that. These are not the droids you're voting for.
Yeah.
So you asked me if I knew about something before or during break when I was trying to read my newspaper and you stopped me.
Yeah. where is it? Oh, universal basic income. You ever heard of that?
No.
Well, you probably need to get ready because when the robots take over.
Okay, now we've left from the droids. Now we are to the Terminator.
Yeah. Well, when the country goes automated by, and the robots are doing the jobs, they've got it, all of the people that'll be laid off, you know, because of the robots, they'll give them a universal basic income.
Huh.
And I say that they've been running this experiment for a long time. They're saying now that a couple of the Scandinavian countries are going to experiment with this basic income. But I say they've been doing it all along in this country with the welfare system.
Hold that thought, because I want to talk about that, but we're going to just jump back to the previous subject.
Yep.
A woman that's very near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Love her dearly. Jenny wants to talk a little bit about voter fraud. Yep. Hello, Jenny. God love you. How are you doing today?
Hey, I love you, too. Actually, I love both of you. I don't know one of you, but I love you anyway.
Well, I know your voice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a sweetheart.
Yes.
Hey, what?
Well, don't you guys know? Come on. The Russians did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thanks for your call, Jenny. No.
Really, though, guys, how do you know, honestly? How do you know? You've got to just go in there and trust.
But verify.
Yeah. I mean, I do absentee.
Yeah.
So I mail it in, and I'm just like, all right, I just pray over it, right?
Right.
And I just hope for the best.
Well, you know, those ballots, when after you send them in, they then are going through your county or your precinct township clerk's.
Yeah.
Hands, she's got to open them up and put them in.
Mm-hmm.
And she may check off the box that you sent in a vote, but if your vote isn't right, how do you know what's actually going in correctly?
So the question is there any way that we could all feel secure in knowing that our vote was
there both is.
Secret and 100% of what we put in the box?
There is one way. Vote Republican.
Yeah.
Every time.
I can believe that. But, you know, we've got some shady Republicans, too.
No.
No, we do. And you know what? It's really hard because it goes back to society, folks.
Yes.
It goes back to your upbringing and the way that you were taught. And it goes back to the yucky public schools, whatever. And people are not taught like we were taught when we were coming up.
Right.
And yet, back, I remember, I just read something recently about President Kennedy's stuff. And, you know, in West Virginia, they had a whole bunch of dead people voting. That's how he got in.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
You know, my father, his whole life voted Republican.
Mm-hmm.
This year is the first time he's ever voted Democrat.
Wow.
Now, he's been dead for 10 years.
So my point is, fellas, how do you just got to go and pray over it and hope that God works it out. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, apparently the answer is the Russians. We're going to blame everything on the Russians, okay? That's the new thing. If something's wrong, it's the Russians' fault. If something goes right, though, are we going to continue to blame the Russians?
Well, you know, I remember that West Virginia election, and I was in high school just before I joined the Army. And I knew about the fraud that went down in West Virginia and in Chicago. You know, so today it doesn't seem to me that the children are getting the information to them. A lot of young people know absolutely nothing about the good work that is done by the Electoral College. I mean, this election here should prove to everybody how important that was.
Hey, Jenny, first of all, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Tomorrow, when you see Pastor Max, give him a big hug and tell him I'm praying for him.
I will. And, I always do. I try to give him one every week.
Well, give him one for me, too. So that way you're going to have to give him two hugs. And thank you for calling. Okay, on line two.
No problem.
On line two, we have Jane who wants to talk about voter ID. Welcome to The Drift.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
I just wanted to comment on something and make people aware of one of the problems that doesn't get a lot of publicity, and that is the issue having to do with showing ID at the polls. I've worked at the polls for every election, or I've been at every election in various capacities from 2008, 10, 12, 14, and this past year, 2016.
So you only work the polls on even number of years?
Yes. I've been at the, and so I've seen this personally numerous times. And one of the big problems that we don't hear about is the law says that you have to show ID.
Right.
There's no requirement that the ID that you show has to be the same name as the person on the registration log that you claim to be.
Good point.
And in 2012, I was very bent out of shape about this because people were showing up with a voter with a name with one spelling on the driver's license, and we had a different name with a slight variation or sometimes a major variation of the same spelling on the voter log. And whenever this got questioned, they ended up getting ballots anyway. Some of them got provisional ballots, but we never had any guidance as to how much discrepancy in the ID you showed and the name on the voter registration log would be allowable.
Huh. I personally wrote
and communicated with Ruth Johnson's office about this in 2012, and I could get absolutely no guidance from her. None whatsoever.
So John Smith could come in and say, my name is John Smith. That's spelled J-U-N.
Well, that's right. In other
J-U-N.
Words, you could have an ID that shows John Smith, S-M-I-T-H. And the name in the voter log could be S-Y-M-T-H.
But some people might spell Smith G-O-M-E-Z.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how most people feel about it, but you have a legal name, and your legal name has a particular spelling. And for your driver's license and everything else, you should be using that same name. And I don't buy the fact that somebody whose name is Rita can come in and register to vote under the name Anita and tell me that, well, my driver's license has the wrong name on it. Mm. They made a mistake at the license bureau. And, of course, I never bothered to check it. But that's the kind of stuff that was showing up repeatedly at the polls. And in my experience, I first noticed it in 2012. The same thing happened in 2014. The same thing happened in 2016.
Wow.
And so, and that's one of the big things that Ruth Johnson has not come about with. And I think that at least that's in part responsible for some of the problems with voting that takes place.
You know,
the other problem is that there are, and this was a particular problem, that I saw in 2012 and this past year in 2016, and that's the people who come in and identify themselves as Democrat poll challengers.
So
not
for
Republican
folks,
poll
real quick, for folks who are just tuning in, yes, this is The Drift, and yes, we are teaching you how to defraud the voting system.
So
if you want to know how to do it, just listen to The Drift, and we'll fill you in on exactly on how to cheat the voting system.
Right. The Democrat poll challengers come in, and they never challenge. I have not seen them on one occasion ever challenge the right of someone trying to register to vote to cast a vote. Instead, they challenge the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Republican poll challenger says, gee, you've given us an ID that says John Smith, and this registration says
Jonathan
Juan Gomez, you know, I challenge this vote, the Democrat poll challenger will come up, get very loud, make a scene, and shout out, this person is saying that you aren't who you say you are.
Right.
And they create scenes. It's really a problem. I mean, I've only been at the polls in Ann Arbor, but this has been a repeated problem ever since 2012, 14, and 16.
You know, it's funny you should say that.
The thing I find most troubling is the fact that our Secretary of State's office will not provide guidance as to whether or not or how much discrepancy is allowable. And, you know, for instance, if your name is Bob, and that's your legal name, and Bob appears on your driver's license, but the name on the registration log says Robert, do you allow that or do you not allow it? You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, myself, I'm a real stickler on the way my name is spelled.
I think we need to be real sticklers on who votes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think there should be a lot of discrepancy at all, particularly if the letter changes the entire pronunciation of the name or changes the name entirely.
See, this is the problem I have with Ruth Johnson. It's this. Now, I voted for her, but I think she needs to be working really hard. I think she needs to find a way to purge our voter registration.
Absolutely.
And this is something that's not being done. She always gives legal reasons not. Well, we need to find, to get legislation to pass the proper bill that will uphold itself within the Supreme Court to purging the system. This is one reason I say that we have to go to a renewal system on the voter registration. Mm-hmm. You have to renew your voter registration.
Correct.
The same as you do your driver's license. And hey, while you're in there, renewing your voter registration, get your picture and have your picture put on your voter registration.
Exactly.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And, you know, and the other problem, again, too, is the fact that, you know, people come in claiming they don't have an ID, which I don't particularly buy at all. I don't see why anyone comes in without an ID. And then they have to sign this attestation. I mean, I have seen people coming in from out of state where they tell them, I'm not registered here, I'm registered someplace else, but can I vote here anyway? And they're basically kind of allowed to do a lot of these things that they're not allowed to do on paper, and all that you can do as a poll challenger is challenge the legality of this, but this stuff is all done after the fact.
Right.
And you never have any way of knowing
how they
whether
voted.
Those ballots are counted, whether they're not counted, and for the people who are given provisional ballots, there is absolutely no way to tell a provisional ballot from a regular ballot. They're all the same color. I mean, if you got a provisional ballot and this made sense, then why not make the provisional ballots pink or make them yellow so that if somebody discovers a bunch of ballots in a car 2 months after the election, you'll know if it's a provisional ballot or not.
Good point.
But there's no way to tell from the ballot itself whether it's a provisional ballot. And the only thing you have to go on is that these provisional ballots are placed in an envelope, and you have to trust the person who takes the envelope to wherever they take it and count it.
So let me ask you a question.
Personally, I have seen a lot of problems with the voting here in Michigan.
So what do you think of the idea?
I don't know how it is in other states, but personally, I think that a lot could be done to improve the process and to not disenfranchise legitimate voters.
So what do you think of the new law that says if you don't have an ID, for your vote to be counted, you've got to come in within 10 days and show that ID?
Personally, I think you shouldn't vote if you don't have your ID.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
In the first place.
I'm with you on that one. And here's.
I mean, I think that people have to be grown-ups, and they have to be treated like grown-ups. If you show up at the airport without your ticket, are you going to get on the plane? I think you have to assume people have to take a certain amount of responsibility. And if you want to vote, I think you need to show up that day. Personally, I don't buy this. I'm going to sign an affidavit and show up 10 days later, because that's just more steps in the chain where things can go wrong.
As much as I like that idea that they have got to show up, I like your idea better, that if you don't have the ID, you don't vote. Because here's the problem with showing up 10 days later with the ID. That means you've just held up my local election for 10 days.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, you know, when I took my examinations to get my license in my profession, I had to show an ID to take the exam on the day that I showed up to take the exam. If I had showed up without my ID, it would have been, okay, bye-bye, You don't take the exam. You don't get your licensing for your profession.
I hate to say this. I don't hear anyone else talking about it, and maybe because I came up with this, but I'm hoping other people are out talking about this. What do you think of the idea of renewable voter registrations, that they fall off as soon as they expire, they fall off the roll? If you don't renew them, you don't vote.
Yeah, I think personally, I think that's an excellent idea because people move out of state. I mean, both of my daughters have moved out of the state of Michigan, but yet they're still registered voters in the state of Michigan.
Did they vote this year in Michigan?
Pardon?
Did they vote this year in Michigan?
No, they voted in the states in which they reside.
Okay. I should put it a different way. Have you checked to see if they accidentally voted in Michigan?
No, they didn't. I know they didn't.
All right. Yeah, I thought maybe somebody else went in there and said, hey, my name is...
But that's correct. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm Jane's daughter. My last name is spelled...
Could use their name.
Yeah, my name is Jane. That's spelled R-U-T-H.
Yes, and I want to vote. That's correct. And my last name is spelled J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Yeah. Or G-O-M-E-Z, depending on how you pronounce it.
Yeah. But that's right. I mean, I think the entire process is very sloppy. There's no need for it to be this sloppy. I mean, the government computers know everything we're doing every minute of the day, seems like, and it's just not clear to me why we have all this stuff going on about not being able to identify people at the time they show up. And I just think that, personally, I think we need to... I don't think it's disenfranchising people to say that you cannot vote if you're not following the rules and you don't bring your ID.
Hey, Jane,
and I think there should just be one day to vote, and that's the day that you show up. If you can't get your act together well enough to bring a driver's license, a passport, or some other legitimate photo ID.
Hey, Jane, I hate to cut you off here.
Then you don't
but
vote.
I do. I want to thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I want to get back talking to Phil, who has the robots taking over the universe and everyone getting paid a standard fee for the work that the robots do.
Yeah, okay.
You have a good day. And, hey, if you get a chance, listen to us tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And that will be Moment of Clarity with myself, Pastor Rick Dietering, and Phil Stargell, my right-hand man.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
So, okay, the robots have taken over the world, and I'm going to get a paycheck. Is that what I'm understanding, Phil?
Yeah, that's the general idea of it. And they start this article off saying, and this was the gentleman that is Tesla's autos, what's his name? Good Lord. But anyway, he wrote a long article on this where in 20 years, 30 years, mm-hmm. when the robots take over.
Right.
That Elon Musk is his name. Oh, man.
Oh, mine. That already got... I did not do that on purpose, Phil.
Nah.
I sometimes try to do that just as a joke.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Tomorrow night we will talk about this in full detail. So listen to us tomorrow night on Moment of Clarity with Wham Stargell. Phil Stargell. It must be Wham Stargell. You're on enough.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And we will talk about me getting a paycheck after the robots take over. I like that idea.
I like it too, but...
You folks all have a blessed day. This has been The Drift. I'm Pastor Rick Dietering, Phil Stargell. We've been filling in with Jane on the show, and you all have a blessed day.
Yeah.